Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Hey, we're shaking our heads in victory. Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hampton OB postgame on the air here with you, Andy Mazur and the fellas. And a 24-20 Chicago Bears victory over a very bad New York Giants team. But
they led us until 2 minutes left in the game.
They looked pretty good. And, you know, they lost Jackson Dart on that crazy the fumble play. And he came back in, but then was ruled out with a concussion.
That changed everything. And Dart came back in. But, you know, after that series, when they went down to the goal line, and we'll talk about that, how Brian Daboll blew the game, he would have had it fourth down on the half-yard line. Anybody in the world would say, yeah, we're going to go for it.
Yeah.
End of day, hey, OB, you better fashion your chin strap. If you think that this NFL has, you know, no surprises, are you kidding me? Think about this, folks. On a day where Buffalo, a lot of people say, maybe the best team in football, they go down to Miami, they can't score. They lose. Last week, Carolina goes into Green Bay, beats what a lot of people think could be the NFC participant in the Super Bowl. Carolina beats Green Bay like a drum and then goes home and loses to the New Orleans Saints, the worst team in football. So what happened today? I guess we're going to go through and sift it, but my God, why do we let it get out of hand like this? And why do we let bad teams hang around, OB?
Well, okay, so if you're going to point the arrow at somebody or something along those lines, where would you go with the Chicago Bears? Why did we play almost for, 58 minutes? Lousy football, losing football? Right at the coaching staff, folks. Right at the coaching staff. Our offensive coordinator, whoever put this game plan together, folks, we just played we're at home against a 2-win, 7-loss team.
Right now.
And it takes us to the absolute end of the game and an exhausting run by our quarterback to win this game. We were never put in a position in running and passing and calling on first down, second down, and third down to advance the ball. What, we converted 4 times out of 15 on third and fourth down? You're going to lose a football game. And again, what happens? The football gods are looking down on the Bears again. We pull out a victory at the absolute end of the game, and we go down the field by a quarterback running, not throwing the football. And we're converting on third down with our quarterback running. Holy schmoly, folks. What a lousy football game. But, Eric, kudos to the Bears. You know, they won, and they should have won. You know, again, a 2-7 team. We're playing at home. And they take us down to the last minute or so in the game that they have been winning all afternoon long. And I'm to be happy about it. Dan's to be happy. Andy's to be happy. And we all should be happy.
We're shaking our heads.
Yeah.
My God, folks. And I'm going to tell you, this one, Dan, I put this one, this never should have been close. It was a poor offensive game plan and a poor defensive game plan. Going against basically a rookie quarterback, we should have been going after him, come hell or high water, whatever he blitz known to mankind, and shut it down the first quarter. But we didn't. What do? We let him end the game, and guess what? They took advantage of it, Dan.
They did.
And they truly did. And who, I'm going to tell you what, our head coach, who again, that's the guy that I really wanted. And our offensive coordinator, and we're supposed to have the greatest young quarterback to ever come out of college football. He's halfway through his second season, and you're telling me we're going to win a Super Bowl with this coaching staff and with this kid at quarterback? For God's sakes, we had to take it down to what, less than a minute to go against a 2-7 team, and we're at home. Holy cow, come on. Reality's got to set in somewhere along the line, and I think it is coming down the road very soon, Dan and
well,
Andy.
And I got to tell you, Andy, we're going to talk about the ineptitude of the offense for most of the day. You got to tip your cap. They scored.
It's criminal, Dan.
Well, we scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
We couldn't convert on third down.
No,
Dan.
We couldn't.
4 of 15, folks.
But that's been a lot of what's happened this season.
Absolutely.
You know, we struggle. But think about this. Going into the final 2 minutes, the story in my mind was Brian Daboll and that coaching staff outcoached us.
Yeah.
Because we had a better roster. We had better players. We had, everything.
And we got every call from the referee on the books.
They had over 11 penalties or 12.
They had 10 penalties. The Bears had 3.
But the point being is, we were out. They pulled our pants down all day, and we. I got to tell you something, folks. Everybody wants to keep kind of throwing bouquets at Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator. Folks, let me tell you something. That our defense is a mess. I mean, a mess.
In most categories going into this game, almost half the season done, we're basically in the bottom four quarter of every statistic, almost every main statistic in the NFL. Our defense.
I remember sitting in the meeting rooms watching film, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I can't wait to play this offense, when they're really bad. Every offense in the NFL, you know what they're doing, Andy? They're crossing their fingers just saying, we can't wait to play the Bears defense because it's that bad. And I got to tell you, and we started off so well. The very first series of the game against the Giants, we finally, I think they got a first down. But our defensive line made about 5 plays in those two, series. And I turned to y'all and I said, that's, Hardy made it. Excuse me. Booker made a play. Yep. Montez Sweat made a play. Even Andrew Billings made a play. I'm thinking, if our defensive line plays like this, hey, this is going to be short order. We're going to get a big lead. We're going to force a bunch of mistakes.
That was it for the rest of the game, Dan.
Oh, then after that,
God almighty,
they disappeared again. They walk into the spaceship. We never see them again. And think about this, folks. How lucky are we? Caleb Williams, and we're going to talk long and hard about, a lot of the problems that he's having with accuracy. But they, up until the final minutes of the game, they had 15 quarterback pressures and 0 sacks. He was Houdini in the pocket once again. And those runs you're talking about at the end of the game, if we don't have them, if we don't have a quarterback that can make those plays.
Because he can't make the throws, but he can make the runs, Dan.
Well, hey, but when it's all said and done, everybody's going to remember the Bears won today. Caleb Williams made a couple of plays that put us in position to win.
And you want to know what? And it's great that we won the game. I mean, you want them to win, especially at home. Because the fans out there, you people, there's nobody better.
Amazing.
And I've been around a long time, and I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, there's no better fans than you people right here that were in Soldier Field. I'll tell you what, God love you, God bless you, and thank you for coming and supporting the Bears. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bears are going to have to readjust here going in the back half of this season because I'm telling you, there's a tidal wave coming.
Fasten your chin strap.
Yeah, we'll talk about the schedule coming up as well, which starts with the Vikings next week in Minnesota, and Minnesota lost today to the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll set all that up for you as well. But the Bears, they get a win somehow, some way, 24-20, 312-981-7200. That is our phone number. We're going to take our first time out and come back with a little more here. We're with you until 5:30 here tonight.
And you just said they won somehow.
Somehow, some way. Exactly.
Those are the words.
Exactly.
How did they win?
Somehow, some way.
Are you kidding me?
Fourth time this year they've made plays in the last 2 minutes.
And Apple to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur along with Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich. 24-20. The Chicago Bears get an improbable comeback win over the New York Giants.
It was a crazy game from the very beginning. Now think about this. we take the ball and we put together a six-play, 30-yard drive, and then we go for it on fourth down, and we don't get it. So we turn it over on downs. The Giants get it. They put together a six-play, 16-yard drive that I was telling you about earlier where the defensive line made some plays, and they turn it over on downs. I've never seen a game start with two offenses on the field going for it on fourth down and turning it over. Now, obviously, the weather had, you know, some, you know, effect on the way the coaches were calling the game. But the Bears offense, after they scored on their second possession, it was a pretty nice drive, an eight-play, 42-yard drive. We went punt, went again for it on fourth down, did not get it, and then we go into halftime. So you look at the offense, OB, and a lot of what was going on was it wasn't just one guy or this or that. To me, it was a very ineffective game plan, which put us in the third down. And unfortunately, we've got a quarterback that has an accuracy problem, and he's not throwing the ball well. And a little bit later on, we're going to talk about who the player of the game is and all that. But maybe his, you know, biggest throw of the game was to Colston Loveland in the fourth quarter, you know, gotta have drive, and it wasn't a good ball.
That, he threw it behind him again, Dan.
He did.
And he caught it on his backside shoulder
right
with his forearm.
Speed.
And I'll tell you what, if anything, Andy, I don't, I can't even remember, did we do the player of the game yet?
We have not yet.
In which I never get a vote. You always take it, Dan.
Well, I'm bringing
but anyways,
this up.
But anyways, I'm telling you, I mean, you guy,
you can whine.
He tramples all over you when it comes to that. That's Hampton's player. Anyways, that was, to me, that was the play of the day. When he made that catch on that awful throw from Williams, and he made it and got some yards, that was huge. That kept us alive in a time when we needed to be alive.
But after the Giants had the ball on that first drive and we forced them into, you know, not, you know, getting a first down, we took over. The next series, we were able to stop them and force them to punt. And from that moment on, Jackson Dart took over the game.
He did.
And I don't know if you guys caught it, but the Giants have been around a long time. The Bears have been playing them 100 years. In the last 60 years, they've had some pretty good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning, Phil Sims.
Y.A. Tittle.
Hey, Jackson Dart threw for more yards and a half than any quarterback in Giant history against our defense.
At 199, right?
Yes. Well, and we couldn't stop him, OB.
Danny, he outplayed Caleb Williams until he got hurt in the fourth quarter, okay? And, folks, he's a rookie. Jackson Dart is a rookie, okay? And this is his sixth game of him starting. We're halfway through the season. This is only his sixth start, and he outplayed our quarterback from head to toe, from quarter to quarter to quarter, until he got hurt.
312-981-7200. Let's sneak in a phone call before we get to the top of the hour. We'll say hi to Damian in River Forest. Damian, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Alive.
Yeah, you know what? I'm coming from the game. I got my daughters in the car. I don't remember. You know, I don't remember a season where I felt so bad after winning. You know what I mean? Couple points I want to make and see what you think about it. First of all, number 14 was not the MVP. Why wasn't he pulled? He dropped four balls. He dropped a touchdown. Every time I saw him running back out there, my blood pressure went up. And then the other question for you, Hamp, why weren't they spying the quarterback? These ridiculous QB sneaks, the guy ran for 60 yards. 70, it was crazy. Tell me why they didn't defend that better.
Okay. And, you know, great points. And we're happy that you went to the game and you stayed till the end and you guys were making the noise at the end. God awful. Russell Wilson was out there. But all that being said, why did they not spy the quarterback? There ought to be an investigation. What is going on in Dennis Allen's mind? You know, I got to tell you folks, you know, he was supposed to be the goods. He came in here. He was a head coach in New Orleans for a number of years. He was the defensive coordinator for a long time. You'd think he would have the brain cells to figure out that we, as a defensive line, we're not active enough to be able to track quarterbacks down. So guess what? If we do ever get any pressure and the quarterback breaks out, just like Jackson Dart, makes us look like fools. Now, you know and I know that most offenses, when they start seeing you spy, then that, like the running back that linebacker would be, you know, responsible for, they start running the wheel route and wearing you out on the wheel route. Well, you know, it was almost like the Giants were waiting for us to do something. We did nothing, and Jackson Dart looked like Johnny Unitas out there, running for touchdowns, running for first downs. And the other part about it, Zacchaeus has been a really good addition. But boy, are you kidding me? And I got to tell you, I think Roma Dunze's dad set up the game plan that first quarter. He was targeted, five times?
Yes. I'll tell you what, here must be the new game plan for the Chicago Bears.
The new offensive coordinator.
The fathers, they start blowing their mouth off. Guess what? That kid gets the starting role the following week.
10 targets
my
for him today.
My Lord Almighty.
And now everybody on offense, his dad's going to start tweeting.
You know, Damien.
Oh, my son didn't see the ball.
Damien, let me tell you something. You just got to remember who we played. We played a 2-7 team, and we played at home. And if their quarterback, Jason Dart, doesn't go down, I mean Jackson Dart, if he doesn't go down, we lose this football game. We lose this football game. We outplayed for almost four quarters until the last minute and a half, 2 minutes, whatever it was, against a 2-7 team, and again, we're at home. And the reason why I keep saying this is because this is something. This season should never have gone the way it's gone. It should never have. And we're lucky to be now, 6-3? With now four miracle finishes to beat pathetic football teams in the last minute. Two of them with no time left on the clock. One with a few seconds and another one with a few seconds to go. And we should be happy and be wonderful and give kudos to the coaches. I'll tell you what, the coaches, they were pathetic today. Andy.
Yep.
And Danny and you listeners, they were pathetic.
We brought it today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. The card to bring through it all. We have decided, a couple of us decided that it's going to Caleb Williams.
It was a fist fight at the bat rack to figure out who was going to be player of the game. And, you know, quite honestly, we're most of the time in unison, are we not, OB?
Yes, we are. But Andy and you are about as wrong could be. You're telling me that quarterback for 60 minutes today was the reason why we had a runaway win? Colson Loveland made some phenomenal and critical catches, how bad they were. They were so badly thrown, he had to turn almost 180, turn all the way around, and then catch it on his back left side shoulder and pull it in with his forearm. If Colson Loveland doesn't make those catches, we don't win this football game. And I'm not going to say that our quarterback, the way he played today and the way he threw the football, and I'm going to vote him the player of the game or the most valuable or whatever. Please, please.
Well, and the reason that Andy and I... voted for Caleb Williams is the fact that after the offense played dead most of the day, he was the quarterback that put us in position to win the game.
Who was the quarterback that played dead for 58 minutes?
Well,
who was it?
Well, that we voted for, the guy that
brought it.
Yeah. Because he brought it at the end, and he brought us a victory.
Now, give me a break. I didn't want to hear it. No.
20.
He brought us a victory. What? Excuse me? The other 10 guys that are on offense, they didn't help. The 11 guys on defense, they didn't help in the last few minutes. It was all Caleb Williams that done it. There'll be a cold day in hell when I believe that story.
Well, and it wasn't a great day. 20 of 36 for 220 yards.
And 4 of 15 on third down and fourth down conversions.
Exactly.
You lose a game, folks. And we, again, what do? We win again. But here's the downside. It was a 2-7 team. We were playing at home, and we stunk it up all afternoon.
But he was able to get out of the pocket and score.
Oh, will you stop?
You know, the put us in position to score the last touchdown with eight scrambles out of the pocket, 63 yards. But your point about Loveland is apropos because
he doesn't make that play, Dan. We don't win.
He's four targets, four catches.
There you go.
And you know, the 55 yards don't sound like much, but every one of those four catches were
critical, instrumental
in keeping us in a viable position to win.
They were critical, Dan. That's why
I said. That's why we drafted
him.
You're talking about him.
That's why I say he's the player of the game, not Williams. I got other words for Williams, and it sure as hell isn't player of the game.
Well, the thing about it, you know, and we talked about it in the pregame, the Giants are not good at a lot of things, but they are good at getting after the quarterback. And we saw how many times the pocket breakdown, quarterback pressures, and he had to evade sacks and get out. Now, a lot of times he didn't make
spin moves, Dan, and he's got strong legs, and his spin moves because of the strength in his legs, and he gets away.
Right.
That's going to be going for only for so long, my friend.
But instead of a sack for 9 yards, it was either a no play or there was a couple of times he was able to connect and gain some yardage. But at the end of the day, you can't discount the fact that in the fourth quarter, when you have to have it, we were able to score two touchdowns and come from behind.
Dan, they did it at the end of the game, okay? They did it at the end of the game. And they got and calls from the referees. Every time there was a positive play for the opponents, bang, flag, bang, flag. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, the interesting subplot here is the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer. Okay, all that being said, Caleb Williams is on a pretty close pace to gain 4,000 yards throwing the ball this year. Now, all that being said,
Dan, we're playing god-awful teams. My God, we're playing teams that are 1-8, 2-7, 2-8, 3-6, 3-6. That's week after week. That's who we're playing. That's who we're playing, and it's a struggle.
And your point about the coming storm is dead on because we got to go to Minnesota today. The Baltimore Ravens, the ones we saw 2 weeks ago, they with Lamar Jackson, they went in and beat the Vikings. But Lamar Jackson wasn't so great. He was only 17 of 29 for 176 yards. For Caleb Williams to become a 4,000-yard passer, he has to average about 235. Today was 220, so he's a little bit behind the pace. But it's going to be hard to get 235 next week.
Let's talk about the Bears winning, whether it's running or passing, and get to the Super Bowl. Isn't that what it's all about? I really don't give a diddly damn if he meets 4,000 yards, 3,000 yards, or 5,000 yards. All I want us to do is win, and win legitimately. And we've got some legitimate teams that we're going to play. Now, if we start beating legitimate teams, then I will give you all kudos. But as far as it goes now, not a chance in hell.
Have it'll be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Big thanks to our friends at Jake Melnick's for the great food spread where you dined out while we watched the game today. Melnick's, your downtown sports bar destination, 41 East Superior in Chicago. Great wings. We got to sample some of those today. We had the breakfast burgers today, which were fantastic.
Well, the burgers, I think, were the best thing they brought all year.
Yeah.
It was terrific. Just amazing.
A little onion, a little bacon jam on there, and a little fried egg.
Egg on top.
Yeah, a little fried egg. We had some cheese curds. It was a feast for us here today as the Bears win the game 24-20, that is. Again, more information on Jake Melnick's, head to jakemelnick's.com.
Yeah, the fried egg is kind of a metaphor for our offensive game plan today. and again, folks, that defense, and I said the pass rush, you know, is pretty good. You know, they got three high first-round draft picks that they bring it. But the rest of the defense was bad. They were like 29th and 30th in most categories. And yet today, we didn't have any answers for it. And it was all, you know, kind of, you know, poke and play and poke and play. And again, we scored on our second drive, and we don't score again for 45 minutes. And again, back to, you know, you look at the coaches.
That was my opening point.
Yeah.
Who you point the finger at who today? The coaching, the Bears coaching, the head coach and his 30 other coaches. 31 coaches on this team.
Getting paid $25 million to do what they're doing. And we talked about the special teams. We still can't cover kicks. I mean, a bunch of nobodies were returning it out, you know, to the 35, 40, 44 different times during the game. And Andy, at some point, all of these little hairline cracks in, you know, the facade of the team.
Everything looks discombobulated, Danny.
That's your word.
Our offense looks discombobulated. Our defense looks discombobulated. They look like they don't know, as far as I can say, and I'll put it in plain English, they don't look like they don't know what the hell they're doing out there. Okay? They struggle mightily still, week after week, to convert on third down. My God, how tough is that? That's why we only score 14 points and a half, or maybe 10, or we come down to the end of the game and it's 17 to 20 or 24 to 17. I mean, my God. And these are god-awful teams that we're playing against, and we can't put anybody away. And playing these teams with the people that we're supposed to have. Our coach came in here with all the credentials in the world. Our quarterback came in here as the greatest quarterback to come out of college. We have number one draft choices in receivers, tight ends, in running backs. We've got them all over offensively, and I'll be damned if we can convert on third down and it takes us miracle plays at the end of a game to win. When is this coaching staff going to start coaching? And when the hell are these players going to start playing and putting people away that they should put away?
Andy, you know, during the course of the game, I'll make a bunch of notes, but the Giants took a 20-7 lead with about 6 minutes left in the game. And that's when I turned to you and OB and I said, this right now is why they paid Ben Johnson to come here. This right now is when we have to find a way and move the ball and score and get back in this game. And guess what we do? We go out there and we go, you know, four plays and turn it over on downs. And again, the next two series, they were able to drive for touchdowns, which is great. But at some point, you got to start thinking, you can't wait until, you know, the clock's against you. And
a miracle run by your quarterback, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't. It's going to jump up and bite you sooner or later.
And my point about, you know, the fact that, you know, thinking about, you know, Caleb Williams and all the media is all giddy and, oh, he's great and he's this and that. We're pointing out the fact that as inaccurate as he is and erratic as he is at times, you know, we have an offense that is out of rhythm. And your word discombobulated,
that's what it looked like today.
And the defense and the special teams. But
offense and defense, both of them, that's the only word that could come up. And I said it to Andy earlier during the day when we were watching. What offense? They look discombobulated. They don't know what the hell they're doing. Look, same thing with the defense. That's why we couldn't put this team away that we should have put away. We couldn't do it because we didn't know what the hell we're doing. And that's when I came up with the word discombobulated. That's what it looked like to me.
And at the end of the day, you know, we're through with, you know, beating up on the practice dummies here. All these 2-7 teams, New Orleans, the Giants. Now we are in a stretch where we're going to play the better teams. And even though Minnesota lost today, they lost to the Baltimore Ravens, which when you looked at this season and you're looking at betting odds, they were the odds-on favorite to go and win a Super Bowl. So I can see, you know, the Ravens today winning, but it wasn't easy. The Vikings had the ball at the end of the game, driving until the clock ran out. They had a chance to, you know, tie the game and possibly win it. All that being said, this offense I saw today, if we play like this next week in Minnesota, it's a cow killing. We won't have a chance in our defense.
Yeah, it's our offense every week is like it was today.
Well,
that's what it's been.
It really has. Other than the Dallas game, which we kind of blew them open, you know, in the third quarter and it became a laugher. Other than that, we have struggled to have any consistency, any rhythm on either side of the ball.
And there's got to be somebody's at fault for this, Dan, from week to week. This far into a season, and today, you talk about struggling. We struggled every minute, every second we were out there today, even though we won, but it was a struggle.
And the turning point of the game was who I thought was the player of the game, Jackson Dart, on a quarterback scramble. He fumbles the ball, and we all thought he was down, and, you know, the Bears were given possession, which is great, but if, you know, he stayed, you know, kept the ball, and they gave it to them, they probably would have scored and put us out of, you know, commission. We wouldn't have been able to come back. So I'm just saying, we're happy the Bears won, Andy, but we are realist, and we know, as OB loves to say, the typhoon is just around the corner.
You know, with Jackson Dart, what happened was when he went down, that was the difference. At the end of the game, what play or what situation happened that was the changer? That was the changer when Jackson Dart, when he went down. He outplayed our quarterback from minute to minute and second to second, every time he was in here. And, folks, again, let me say this again. Jackson Dart, their rookie quarterback, this was only his sixth start, and he's playing in our home field, and he's doing damn well, and they're beating us. He gets hurt, and he goes out, and a miracle, the Bears win the game. But that's Jackson Dart, totally, completely outplayed our quarterback from beginning to end.
Well, before we get to break, Andy, I'd like for the callers to prove us wrong.
Yes.
Prove us wrong about what we're saying, because we know we've been down those roads. We know what a team looks like and what they're capable of, and what we're doing right now is not going to work the next month.
312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That's our number. And by the way, that's our game-changing moment brought to you by the Mueller Auto Group. Game-changing moments sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships with locations in Hoffman Estates, Kearney, Highland Park, and Merrillville. And it was that fumble that it kind of created a twofold effect. The Bears got the ball. Jackson Dart was done. And it changed everything.
Well, he came back in the next series and drove him down to the half-yard line. And Brian Daboll, he made the biggest, you know, blown call of the year in my mind. You know, the Bears are on their heels. And he would have had fourth down from the half-yard line. And I'm just telling you, I know how, you know, the ebb and tide of the game is going, and they drove it right down our, you know, address, and they probably would have scored, but they opted to wave off the penalty and settle, and that's the word, settle for the 3 points. That was the difference in the game.
Stemmed the tide there for the Bears, at least, and gave them a fighting chance. And it is time now for Dan Hampton's Defensive Player of the Game, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He was around the ball quite a bit today, a couple of sacks, and then forced the big fumble of Jackson Dart toward the end of that third quarter. And that's the game changer of the moment, the game changing moment, obviously, and the one that sent the Bears to a win.
Hey, think about this. And I don't know what he's getting paid, but we picked him up off the street 10 days ago. And last week he was player of the game on defense. And this week he was player of the game on defense. And if Dennis Allen has done anything good this year, the first thing I'm going to think of is, you know, obviously telling Ryan Poles when he was needing some help in the defensive secondary, hey, call this guy. You know, and Gardner Johnson has been kind of a bunch of different places, kind of run out of a couple places. But today,
isn't it because of his attitude, Dan? Isn't that a big part of it?
And the other part of it is, once a player has success, they start playing their own game and kind of playing outside the scheme. And he got in trouble a bunch, you know, taking chances. But thus far, he has been a magnificent addition to our woeful defense. 9 tackles, as you said today, but 2 sacks. Yeah, hey, they blitzed him and he was untouched. But still, it was a big factor.
312-981-7200. Let's go to the phones. Do you want to say something, Obi?
Okay. No, go ahead.
All right, let's go to Sand City here in Chicago and say hi to Joe. Joe, you're up with Hamp and Obi. Go ahead.
Hey. Yeah, this is Joe from Chicago. Hey, Ob, you and I were in the same anatomy and physiology class at Illinois.
Wow.
How many times did you see him?
You remember Dr. Heckard?
Eckert. Dr. Eckert.
Dr. Eckert, right. And we had a final that was that knocked us all out of the box.
I just want to say
the thought of adversity gets us through good times here. I mean, I think the Bears are on the right track. And it seems to me that you guys are kind of addicted to the negative.
No, I don't think so, Joe. I think what I'm telling you is what I saw.
Okay.
And you know, and when you come in and you have a kid by the name of Jackson Dart, who's a rookie for your opponent, that's a 2-7 team, and he comes into our home, and that's only his 6th start in the National Football League, and he outplays our all-world quarterback. What, I shouldn't say anything about that? The fact that, again, we go down to the last few seconds of a game to win it against god awful teams that are 2-7, 1-8, 3-5. That's all I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. What I see on that field, what I know on that field, Joe. That's what I'm telling you. And the day that I'm going to congratulate people for not playing to their total top talent, whether they're coaches or whether they're players, that's the day I'll get out of this game.
Well, Joe, let me just throw in about the coaches. And on one hand, there's no doubt that if the Eberflus clown car was still here, we wouldn't be 6-3.
No.
You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. But that's why he was fired. But to accept, you know, this, the fact that we're 6-3, yes, we are, and, you know, it's been by the skin of our teeth, for those wins where our quarterback has had to come back and find a way, block a kick, do this, do that. All I can tell you is, look at the competition. We're barely scraping by versus the dregs of the NFL. Now, we're going to find out who the Bears are the next month. And years ago, I remember this. I was doing post-game and pre-game and all that stuff. And we were being realistic, saying, look, the Bears, you know, they need to be able to be better than what we're seeing because good teams, you know, have answers and they will beat us. And I remember we went down to Arizona and that was the game where we had a big lead and Urlacher comes up with a fumble or a return or this or that. And we beat Arizona in the final minute of the game. And that's when Dennis Green went off on his tirade,
yeah,
screaming, the Bears are who we thought they were. In other words, what he was saying was, they're not a good team. They just got lucky as a crack house rat today. And that's the way we've been winning. Now, I guarantee you, Brian Daboll, when he looks at this film tomorrow, he's going to look at everybody in the coaching room and say, how did this happen? How did we lose to this? We are not a really good football team right now. And we don't want to just be, you know, 9-8 or 7-9 or whatever the number. We want to be able to win the North, get in the playoffs, beat somebody of import, and have a chance to be something special. We haven't had anything close to that in a long time. And unfortunately, to me, it sounds like the media and the fans are willing to accept, oh, we won, that's great. Like I said, we're going to find out who this team is the next month.
Back out to the phones we go. Let's go to Mount Prospect inside of Frank. Frank, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dan, how do we get to give the message to Mr. Allen that the word is put 5 men on the line, blitz a guy like that rookie they had there, and knock him around a few times, and then we don't have to be messing around. He does not blitz this. I thought this guy was a big hitter. And I'm, you know, I've been a Bear fan, and I'm 89 years old, and I'm backing him 100%. But you keep on sitting around and letting these guys chew you apart like he let that kid do. Allen needs to be kicked in the ass and get these guys the blitz.
Well, Frank, you're exactly right, except for one thing. We are blitzing. CeeDee Gardner-Johnson had 2 sacks today when he was blitzed.
And we did today, Dan. Today we blitzed more than we've ever done all year, which we've been screaming about in this station here since day one. Get creative. We can't get to them with our 4 down linemen, so you get creative with interior line plays, tricks plays, and then you couple it with a Mac blitz, a middle linebacker, a weak linebacker, a strong linebacker, your strong safety, your weak, your cornerback, and you blitz the hell out of your opponents. Because playing a standard 4-3 defense is not working. The Bears are not good enough to do that. So they got to get creative, and today was the first time I saw any creativity in the defensive line and the blitzing calls.
I
think Frank is right.
There were some bright spots, very few, but think about this, folks. Today was Tyrique Stevenson's worst game of the year. He was beat a bunch. Yep. There was a point in the third quarter where he kind of made a couple of good tackles and he was playing better. But early, he was just awful. And Nashawn Wright, Nashawn has struggled a bunch this year. So when you blitz, those guys are 1-1. Everybody in the league, they're watching it. They're seeing, hey, when you bring people, those guys are 1-1. Every receiver in the league thinks they can beat our corners. That's the dilemma that Dennis Allen's in. But what he needs to do is put a boot in the butt of a defensive line coach and get these guys coming off the ball. My God, every play they stand up, present their chest, and they're blocked.
All right, more coming up with Hampton will be in just a few moments. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to jump on in, the Bears win it 24-20 over the New York Giants. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Highlights courtesy of Fox Sports. Kyle Manungai with a touchdown. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur and the fellows here after a Bears win 24-20. Over the New York Giants. So the Bears now 6-3. The Vikings lost today. They are 4-5. And that's the matchup coming up next week.
Well, it's been a long time since we've been anything other than last place in the North. So I guess Ryan Poles, take back the North. It takes 4 years to get to third place. How many years till we get to first place, right? But it was great to see DeAndre Swift back on the field. He carried 13 times, 80 yards, a 6.2-yard average. And you love to see the backs involved in the passing game, unfortunately.
On the wheel routes, Dan, and I didn't see it one time.
Well, there was a bunch of, again, herky-jerky offensive plays calls, but he did catch 5 for only 18 yards. A lot of those were, you know.
Not on the wheel route, Dan.
Well, there was a 3rd down. It was 4th down and 4. And Williams was under a little bit of pressure, and Swift was coming across on a cover route behind the line of scrimmage, and Caleb throws in the ball, and Swift was at the line of scrimmage, and he had a linebacker right in his pocket. I mean, there's no way you can expect him to break the tackle and make 4 yards. It was a poor designed play. And again, to me, I know Ben Johnson's a genius, and nobody wants to point a finger here, but I'm just saying a lot of the plays today, you know, they were vertical and not horizontal.
312-981-7200. That is our phone number. Again, we're with you until 5:30 here this evening. Breaking down this one with the Bears winning 24-20 over the Giants here today. And, you know, you love to see, obviously, the Bears at 6-3. We know that there's been kind of some smoke and some mirrors here, but, you know, you're hoping that Ben Johnson, as we pointed out, smart enough to realize that what's going on right now is not going to get it done starting next week.
Yeah. You know what, Andy, what you're saying is correct. You know, we're 6-3, okay? And what you hope, playing these teams that are 1-8 or 1-9 now, are 2-7, 2-6, 2-8, they're 3-6. That's what we played week after week. But you hope you could get some kind of a mentally better physically, and you become offensively more efficient, more quicker, sharper defensively, more creative with blitzes, with line, defensive line play, while you're playing these teams that are really, really bad teams, and you take advantage of the situation. And you hope from week to week, what I just said, that all these things I just mentioned, you get a little bit better. So when the tide comes in, okay, you're ready for them, and hopefully you can match those really good teams, because you build up the momentum offensively and defensively, because somehow, some way, you guys are winning, okay? And it's certainly better than losing. But if you can get that feeling that you think you can, you will. And I think that's what's happening here. They're finding ways. They're staying in the game, even though, again, we're playing awful teams. But they're finding ways to get a few more points than the opponents, which gives us a win. Now, starting this coming week, it's going to be the start of us playing some really well-coached teams and some teams that can move the ball offensively and defensively. And let's see, just maybe, this win might have kicked us up another notch to be a little bit more affluent on offense and a little bit more creative on defense. And when we play these good teams, maybe we can give them a hell of a game, and maybe we can really learn to win. Just saying, maybe.
312-981-7200. Let's go out to our neighboring state in Indiana. Welcome in, Paul. Paul, you're up with Ampano B. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I remember you from last week. How are you doing?
Good, Paul.
All right, so as I said last week, we were not going to be great in all facets, and I was relatively right, but at least a win is a win. And we won ugly again this week, and I think we will continue to do that.
Well, okay, if that's what it's going to be. But the only thing, Paul, is the competition that's coming up, is there's no question about it. These are better coach teams, and they have better players on both sides of the ball. So there's going to be one test after another here coming up. And let's hope what I just said, finally we've got maybe a little bit of a winning theory here going. Somehow we're actually winning a football game, even though it's in the last minute or seconds of play. But hopefully sometimes that can rub pretty good on you, and maybe you can carry it into the following week. And hopefully that's what will happen when we go up to play Minnesota, because it's not going to be a cakewalk.
All right, got about a minute before we hit our next break. Let's go out to Lombard and say hi to Matt. Matt, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hamp, OB.
Yo.
This is Chu. My name is Matthew, but they call me Matt Chu. Chu, I'm talking about Deluxe here. Deluxe, you are my two favorite Deluxe D linemen and favorites. I have a question here. What the hell is going on with the D line with the Bears? They have a Deluxe salary, and they're doing nothing but making us just disgusted. I'm using all the D's here and stuff. Can you give me something that Allen is not doing with that D-line? Come on, guys.
Well, here, Matt, let me tell you. This is the first time And Dan, I'll turn it over to you in a minute here. But Matt, this is the first time, if you've been listening, I've been screaming for years. Not a year, not this year, for years. You got to get creative defensively. Your four down linemen or three down linemen, whichever defense your team is playing, you've got to be creative with those guys. You can't, at the snap of the ball, you can't have them stand up straight and run into the opponent that's right in front of you. You're going to get beat every time. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen game after game. So you got to get creative with the line tricks, coupled with a weak side linebacker, a strong line side linebacker, a middle linebacker, and even bring your defensive backs, your corner on a corner blitz, or a strong safety or a weak safety coming up in the middle. And that's what I saw today. And I've been screaming about it week after week during the seasons and year after year. We've done nothing. We're not creative until today. Dan, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I saw out there today. I saw a lot of blitzes. I saw cornerback blitzes. I saw safety blitzes. I saw line tricks. And I saw a Mac blitz, our middle linebacker. And that was really nice to see, Matt. And hopefully we'll keep this up. Because if we play a standard 4-3 defense, we're going nowhere. And I don't understand why the hell we've been playing that and not involving all these other things that you can do. I have no idea.
Chu, stick around. After the top of the hour, I'll break this down a little bit better.
Lots of Caleb Williams after the game today, 24-20, Bears over the Giants, Hampton OB. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
So now he's got it all figured out.
Somebody should ask him, well, Caleb, who do you think or what do you think the problem is?
I felt all eyes on me as that bite was being played.
We're going to wait until we get to the meat of the schedule before we start scoring points and stopping them.
Yeah, it's everybody's fault but yours, huh?
I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks, the defense has just been a catastrophe, and a lot of it has to do with the play of the defensive line. And we had a call asking about it, and you gave some great points of how you can get a remedy.
And I saw some of it today.
A little bit, yeah. But it's almost like they're uncoached, OB, and I had Andy look up who the defensive line coach is. It's somebody named Jeremy Garrett. Jeremy Garrett didn't play in the league, but he did play at Ole Miss long ago, and he was in Jacksonville as the defensive line coach last year, doing such a great job they all got fired. All that being said, as a defensive lineman, you almost have to subjugate yourself to the fact that you may not get a sack, you may not make a tackle the whole game, but you have to be violent and destructive and reckless. And we don't have any of that. I'm watching around the league and some of the really good defenses, their defensive line is causing chaos. Ours, we're blocking dummies. And a lot of it is bad technique.
And Dan, you stand up in the air and push the opponents by his chest. What the hell do you think an offensive lineman wants you to do? They'll hand fight you. Yeah, you come and try to hit my shoulder in the chest, but I'll do it with you all day long. We'll have this dance for four quarters, buddy, and that's all we do until I saw a little bit today, a little bit of little defensive line tricks and some blitzes come today. That was nice to see.
Well, again, you have to be destructive and you have to be violent and you got to come off the ball.
We don't have anybody on this team.
And that should be preeminent when a defensive line coach is instructing these guys, hey, you got to come off the rock, baby, and you got to cause problems. And I'll guarantee you, when people would line up and play your defensive line back in the day and our defensive line, the first thing they talked about was how are we going to block these guys up front? Steve McMichael, Richard Dent. The bottom line is you've got to have guys that refuse to be single blocked. You can't double everybody and be destructive. Our guys, they're just getting mauled around. And It goes back to fundamentals and technique. We don't have it. We don't display it. And that's why we are maybe the worst defensive line in the NFL. Easily, in my mind, the worst.
then that's one of the reasons why, as a team, like, we have to come down to some miracle play, and it's all been going our way in the last 2 minutes or in the last 30, 40 seconds. And in two games this year, there was no time left on the clock that we won. We won. And I'm going to tell you what you're talking about with the defensive line, that's been going on here for quite some time. We're just not an aggressive football team, Dan.
No.
We're just not. We don't attack offensively downfield. We just don't. Okay? Defensively, the only thing today, again, I hope it's the change of things. It's what I saw. I saw some line tricks, some blitzes, some corner blitzes, and that's, we should keep that up from every game from here on out to the end of the season. We can't get it done. The point that Dan's making, our four down linemen or three down linemen, whichever defense they want to play, I'm going to tell you what, they cannot get it done. They need help. They need line tricks. They need line movement, and they need blitzes to help them. They're just not good enough, folks, period.
Okay, big picture, Andy, we're 6-3. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the long-term goals here. Okay, you got to get in the playoffs if you got to, you know, a dream of playing in a Super Bowl. So to get to the playoffs at 6-3, I think 10 wins minimum. It probably will be more.
Yep.
You probably have to get 11 or 12, but just say 10. That means we go 4-4 the last 2 months of the season. Is that doable?
Well, you look at what's coming up in the next month, and you think to yourself, okay, well, where are we going to scratch out a win in these next four games?
And OB and I have been, you know, lambasting the coaches and the coaching staff.
Deservedly so.
Okay, well, this week we're going to play Kevin O'Connell. He was coach of the year last year. Next week, we're going to play Pittsburgh. That's Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record. He knows how to coach football.
He does.
Then next week, we're playing the defending Super Bowl champs.
On a Friday.
Are we going to out-coach them? I'm just saying, you know, somehow, some way, we've got to get more out of the sum total of our parts.
And the only way that we can do that, Dan, and this, I'm telling you, in my opinion, I think why, because I know, because I've been there. You've got to get aggressive, defensively and offensively. You just, I've been saying it week after week, year after year, and I don't know where the hell we get these coaches or where they come from, and they come in here and they fall asleep at the switch. We don't attack offensively. We don't attack defensively. That's why we're constantly at the end of a game struggling, and we need a miracle play to win it. We're not aggressive.
All right, final timeout for us. We're going to come back. We'll discuss a little bit more about the game today. A 24-20 win for the Bears over the New York Giants. And then we'll be done at 5:30, and we'll get you set for what's coming up next week. Again, the Bears are on the road at Minnesota. We'll set that up coming up as well.
Andy, going into next week, folks, the teams that we have played so far have a winning. They have 26 wins, 52 losses, and one tie. Those are the teams that we have played. 26 wins, 52 losses, and one tie. My, oh, my.
Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. All right, head coach Ben Johnson, after the ball game today out there at Soldier Field, a 24-20 victory over the New York Giants.
And it was a bizarre game where there were six change of possessions on turnover on downs. So, It was a nightmare game. And why was that, OB? Did somebody make us, you know, play poorly and let a 2-7 team get up 20-7 on us? Did we, was that like something we were mandated to do? No.
In our own backyard on top of it.
And you know, it's almost, unfortunately, it's almost like, you know, he's commenting on something that happened or occurred that he didn't have any control over, you know. Obviously, we have been beating the drum saying, okay, the cakewalk is over after the Giant game. Well, this cakewalk wasn't so much, you know, easy street because we had to score two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to get out by the skin of our teeth once again. Now, all that being said, You know, we went 41 minutes between scoring touchdowns in an NFL game. Think about that, OB. 41 minutes.
That's you know how hard you got to work at that, to not score against a 2-7 team, and they're playing in your own living room.
29-string defense.
29-string. You can't score. You can't even go quarter after quarter. You can't put up 3 points. You can't put up a touchdown. Come on. You know something, Ben? That was Ben Johnson,
yes, it
correct?
Was. Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, Ben, maybe you shouldn't do these interviews after and give your offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. I like you a little bit more, but I'm going to tell you what. What you're saying, I'm not buying. What you're telling, what you're trying to sell about went on today, I'm not buying. Not in any stretch of anybody's imagination.
As we move forward to next week's matchup, real quick, we have our pregame at
11 a.m.
And we will basically talk a little bit about the fact, and again, and you can say what you want, we're playing a Minnesota Viking team that has a losing record.
Correct.
They've got essentially a rookie quarterback, a guy that's never took a snap until the beginning of this year. Then he missed 6 weeks, now back playing. So this would be only like
from LaGrange.
His third or fourth start, J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
So, I mean, how much luckier could you get, OB? We played a 40-year-old quarterback that killed us, a rookie quarterback today that outplayed our quarterback. What's going to happen next week?
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny. As a matter of fact, the kid coming home, he's actually coming home. Their quarterback, J.J., he's from what, LaGrange or LaGrange Fire?
Mm-hmm. No, we're going to Minnesota. The opener, he came home.
At Minnesota, okay. I don't know if it was here or up there. Okay, so we're going up there, and obviously he's going to be the starter. But I just wanted to say that him is, and his family, they live right here in LaGrange and in area, or LaGrange Park. And so I don't know how it's going to be because they're struggling a little bit too now. But I'll tell you what, they do what you had mentioned earlier, Dan. Last year's coach of the year, their coaches are set. They know how to win. Our coaches, are they set? Probably are. But do we know how to win? We're finding it out, beating pathetic football teams. Pathetic teams. Teams that are 2-8, 3-6, 3-5, 1-8, 3-6, 2-7, 3-5, folks. Those are the teams that we're beating. Barely at the end, absolute end of a game, we pull off most of those victories.
Well, and to go back and look at what happened in the opener, if you remember, it was Monday Night Football, and J.J. McCarthy played like a green-as-grass rookie until almost the fourth quarter. Then he caught fire.
Yes, he did.
And he scored 3 touchdowns and was named NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
And we didn't have the answer for
him. We didn't. And they came from,
It was 11 points down in the fourth quarter.
We had a lead. Just what he was talking about. Well, maybe we'll be up and then we'll see if we can. We couldn't close the deal then. What has changed? We'll find out.
All right, that's going to do it for us here tonight. Again, the Bears win it 24-20 over the New York Giants. Big thanks to Sammy, Jack, Eli, and Tony
behind the glass. Boys.
Thanks to Krista as our engineer as well. And again, they're the best. Next Sunday against Minnesota, we're on the air with you at 11 o'clock in the morning for Hampton OB. And Hampton OB has been sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado.